want to read you this letter. It's important for you to understand this. So do you have... I want to make sure you have the facts when you have conversations about these things, because so many things are said on the news and on social media and other places that are not accurate, that people just they glam onto, and boom, there it is. That's a fact. It's not. So I want to read to you the letter sent from President Trump to President Erdogan of Turkey just a few days ago, prior to this military advancement by Turkey into Syria. Dear Mr. President, again, this is from Trump to Erdogan. Dear Mr. President, let's work out a good deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy, and I will. I've already given you a little sample with respect to Pastor Brunson. I've worked hard to solve some of your problems. Don't let the world down. You can make a great deal. General Moslem is willing to negotiate with you, and he's willing to make concessions that they would never have made in the past. I am confidently enclosing a copy of his letter to me, just received. History will look upon you favorably if you get this done the right and humane way. It will look upon you forever as the devil if good things don't happen. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. I'll call you later. President Donald Trump. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. Do what's right. Do the right and humane things. That's certainly not a green light to Turkey, as Jonathan Carl was suggesting. It's not a green light at all, as the press has suggested. Trump didn't cut and run. He took 28 military personnel from the United States out of the way that otherwise would have come home in boxes, potentially. I sit here and I go through this in my head and I say, listen, I've watched this my entire life. I watched the Beirut barracks bombing in 1983 and hundreds of Americans came home. The Marines barracks was bombed. I've looked at other wars and incursions in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. Have we made the world a safer place? It's a fair question. And we do have the most powerful military in the world. But do we use it properly? I originally completely supported the war in Iraq. I supported it completely until I realized we had destroyed a nation with no exit plan, no plan for the future. Iraq will never be Iraq again. It will never be put back together the way it was. It will never be reconstituted. And so what have we accomplished? We've created rump states and the atmosphere and the conditions and the environment ideal for terrorists to thrive. Because they can thrive on a street corner and then in a township and then in an area of the country because there's no real oversight from government because we destroyed that. And we didn't have a plan how to replace that. We would have been better off with Saddam Hussein and the Ba'ath Party remaining in charge of Iraq. There is no question. It would have been better for him to remain in charge of Iraq because he kept everything under control. He was the balancing power there. But that was the failed policy of George W. Bush, a policy now apparently embraced by the Democrats. The Democrats who chided and attacked George W. Bush now apparently endorse and embrace his foreign policy. Isn't that the most incredible thing you've heard all day? But it's pretty obvious they want to stay. They passed a resolution, did the House yesterday, condemning Donald Trump removing American troops from northeast Syria. And a lot of people signed on to this. I'm not committed to either side at this point. I'm willing to see how it plays out. It's where we are. I'm not saying the president's made the right move or the wrong move. I'm asking you questions that are important. How many American bodies, how many American lives are you willing to sacrifice to secure northeast Syria for the Kurds? How many American lives are you willing to sacrifice to defend Syria from Turkey? Or Turkey from Syria? How many? How much treasure are you willing to put into that fight? How much are you willing to ante up of American resources and treasure? Blood and oil and gold. It's a serious question. One that we've been through time and again since I've been alive. And it's the kind of thing you have to take into deep consideration, because if you don't, well, then, what the hell are we doing it for at all? If you don't have an answer, You don't have a plan. What do we? They say Trump doesn't have a plan to come out. Did we have a plan going in? That's my question. Trump's coming out. Well, he doesn't have a plan. He doesn't know what he's. All the ISIS are going to run wild. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't know that. I find it unlikely because the ISIS terrorists are hated by all sides. Some more than America. The president was right about that. Well, president didn't have a plan coming out. Was there a plan going in? That's the bigger question. America goes into these places and never leaves. We have military bases all over the world. What, 182 bases? I think the last time I looked, 182 bases around the world in all sorts of countries you've never even heard of. Spending money and time and putting military power there. Our military base in Turkey, Incirlik, has, what, 50 nuclear weapons or more in a place that I think it's fair to say now is unstable, because I would not consider Turkey an ally of the United States at this point. I would not consider Turkey a reliable ally in NATO at this point, would you? Because I certainly cannot. And so we spread ourselves all over the world, and as so many people have aptly said for so long, as the policeman to the world. Nation building. How's that going for you, George W.? Nation building. How's that going? Pretty well? What have we built? Nothing. A house of cards, maybe. So to criticize this president, and say he had no plan for coming out, my bigger criticism is, what the hell was our plan going in the first place? What did we hope to accomplish in the first place? Keep the Russians out? We don't need the oil. We don't need the energy and the resources because of the energy renaissance at home in America. We don't need the resources. Maybe it is time to come home. Maybe it is time. 52 after, think about it. Think about it. Sports after the break.
Car insurance in Michigan is a problem not yet solved. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close, and there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com. Thousands of jobs across the state of Michigan may be lost due to some recent changes in the auto insurance system. If you think Michigan's elected officials should be doing what they can to lower insurance premiums without closing businesses, learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTCPainInfo. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.